Okay, well, good morning, everybody. Hope everybody had a great lunch this morning. Man, who was here last week? I wasn't. But with the beauty of technology, I was able to watch such an awesome job by our brother Freddie. If you were here last week, how about this? We are not our mistakes. Isn't that good news? Freddie did a wonderful job teaching that, and if you were here, or if you weren't here, you missed a message that involved screen settings from his computer, Greek mythology and biology all wrapped into one. I thought it was an awesome job. He said, it's not our job to be perfect, and God, I love this. This is my kind of English. God views us as more perfecter. You remember that last week? He made up a word, more perfecter. That's good stuff with the gospel. Well, this week we're back in Ephesians. I'm so thankful for him teaching. I joke all the time, man, we've got dream team of teachers. And if you're familiar with the dream team, we got all kind of Michael Jordans and Scottie Pippins. And I'm Christian Leitner down on the end of the bench, but I'm happy to be a part of the team, man. It's good stuff. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read the first two verses because that's where I left off and just remind you of that goodness, and then I'm going to read until verse 14. Do this for me. Didn't plan to ask this, but I want you just to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute, and I want you to listen to these two verses and just ask God to continue to speak over those. Are you good with that? This is a safe place for you to do that. Just bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Therefore, be imitators of God. What does that look like, to imitate God? As beloved children, you know that you are beloved this morning. You know, when my kids misbehave or do something, like, it doesn't change the fact that they are my child and I would do anything for them. I love them deeply. They could divorce me, but I would never divorce them, right? You get that, right? They are beloved children. And so, as imitators of God, as beloved children, and walk in love. We talked about that. What would our life look like if we just started at walking in love, but not an earthly love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so, Father, we just we thank you for those first couple of verses. Didn't plan to do that way, but felt you leading there. And so I pray that you, I know you spoke to my heart on that, of a reminder of the fragrant offering that Christ gave up in the way he walked, the way he lived, the way he died. And that if we are imitators of you, Jesus, and we walk in that way, that we just try our best to arm ourselves with love daily, and we walk in that way, that we too are a fragrant offering to you, God. And so that's beautiful this morning. We thank you for that. And so, Jesus, we just ask that you be with us now as we read the rest in Ephesians that we're at today. Speak to our hearts, we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. I want to ask you a question this morning. How you smelling out there? Some of you just did a check and said, whew. Janet, I'll pick on her. She's not here now. She just ran from a 5K that she was in with a medal. Won her first place. I said, you hadn't arrived at church until you arrived with a medal. You just won by running to church. That was pretty awesome. She said she didn't smell good. I didn't smell it. But ask you how you smelling. What kind of offering, what kind of fragrant offering are you being? Something to think about. So as we come out of that, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I want to remind you that this is a free-flowing letter, right? It, for our benefit, we've got it labeled chapter 5, verse 1, verse 2. Paul wrote this letter to the church of Ephesus, okay? It's a specific church, but also for the global church, right? The body. It was going to be passed on. And as he writes this, remember, this is a free-flowing thought, okay? He's not stopping in segments here and saying, well, that's a good end of verse 2. I'm going to come back later. He's writing this in one long thought. And he says, after therefore be imitators, he says these words in verse 3. He says, but... And he goes into some statements. I want to read this for you through verse 14. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, no crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, but because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are in light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Father, we think that these are your words, God-breathed and useful for all sorts of things, even here as we sit today in 2021. We pray that the words inspired by the Holy Spirit will speak, but beyond that, Holy Spirit, we pray that you speak into our hearts today, that you speak louder than any voice that we've given rule or reign in our life, be it our own voice, be it the voice of others, what others have spoken, maybe incorrectly, saying that we're not worthy or we're not good enough or we can't be redeemed or we've gone too far. And maybe even the religious spirit here this morning that says, "I've already made it, I've already gotten all I need," that's equally as dangerous. And so we just pray, Holy Spirit, that your voice speaks the loudest this morning. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So he starts here, be imitators, walk in love, but, and then he goes through this list of things. Sexual impurity, coveting. And he even says this, it must not even be named. So not that it's just there, but like that it shouldn't even be named. You shouldn't even be associated with these kinds of things. Now, if you're like me, you read lists like this and you get to a place, you say, whew, man. Especially when you get down here, it says no filthiness, foolish talk, and crude joking. Right? You get to there, and if you hang out with people like Jesse Crow, like I do, and you get to that crude joking or foolish talk, or man, we can be some of the dumbest people alive when we get to talking. And you see some of that, and it says this, though, instead, let there be thanksgiving. What an appropriate time, right? We got a great holiday coming up. By the way, you got taco salad today going into Thanksgiving. And I said, man, we got to do a better Thanksgiving meal. That's next week. So we're going to continue the Thanksgiving festivities next week. I hear, don't quote me on all the stuff. I know there's the fixings, but we got fried chicken, I know. So be here next week. Spread the word, or hey, don't, and there'll be more for us, right? Fried chicken, happy Thanksgiving. But it says in all of this, it says, instead of these things, let there be thanksgiving. Now, if we were to line everybody up and say, I've got a poll this morning. I want to offer a question and say, which is better, sexual immorality or thanksgiving? All right, pretty easy, right? Foolish talk or crude talking or thanksgiving, which is better? It's pretty easy, right? Miss Mitzi's helping me out. None of y'all are participating in my poll, but you're nodding, right? You got me. I want you to be careful, though, when you come to a list like this, and I want you to know, because here's what I've had the tendency to do in my life. This is a newsflash. Has your pastor, Keith, ever been sexually immoral? Yes, I have. I have. Have I ever had impure thoughts? Yes, I have. Have I ever foolishly talked? Yes, I have. Have I ever had a crude joke? Probably today. Yes, I have. I'm not saying that to brag on that, but here's what I want you to know. This is not, nor any time that you come to Scripture, a disqualifying list of your worthiness to be a son or daughter of the King of Kings. You hear me on that? You are not disqualified. If you're sitting there this morning, you hear Scripture, and especially, honestly, if you come to verse 5, it can make it sound like a disqualifying list. You could go by and say, well, I've been sexually immoral. I've had impure thought. I've foolishly talked. I've crude joked. I've done all these things. So now you're telling me I can't be a part of this because I'm just not thankful all the time? I want you to know this morning before we go further, there is grace. I'm so grateful for grace. Amen? Who's with me? Diane, she's waving her hand like crazy. She's with me. Like, I'm so thankful for that. I want to remind you again, the words of Freddie's message echoes last week. We are not our mistakes. That is not what defines us. Okay? So you get to verse 5, and it can make it even sound more disqualifying. I want you to listen to this. So he's listed all these things, the sexual immoral, the impure thoughts, the ones who covet, all of this. It says, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral, impure, who's covetous, they have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God. Man, I want to tell you, if you read that verse on its own, in just that one sentence, it feels very dark and ominous and bleak, and there is no hope. But here's what I want to tell you this morning. I believe that when you look at the totality of Scripture, there are no disqualifying sins. I want you to listen to me this morning. You could name or paint any sin in the world that you want to, and I believe that there is only one that disqualifies you from a relationship with God. And that is you deciding that you will be your own Savior or by some other means other than Jesus. That is the only disqualifying sin in all of Scripture. That may sound like, well, man, I don't have my hope in Jesus. I got news for you. If you've got a pulse this morning, you're hearing this, then it's not too late. You can put your faith, hope, and trust in Him today and be taken care of on all of that. So it sounds bleak, it sounds ominous, it sounds dark, but I want to take you here and let you know the only disqualification is that you decide, I don't need that Jesus, I'll handle it on my own or by some other means, because the Word says He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, no one. I don't care if your address is the White House or the outhouse. Nobody in between, right? Comes to the Father except through me. So unless you're signing up to be your own Savior or by some other means, then you are still able to have a relationship with God through Jesus. Verse 6, he continues on. He says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Here's what I want to tell you this morning. I just kind of alluded to it in my prayer, but can I be honest with you this morning? Thank you, Mitzi. When I hear the words, empty words, and I read in this, you're automatically drawn to those who would be sexually immoral, those who would covet, those who would crudely joke, all of these things, and that is true. But I want to tell you one of the other empty words that is nearly just as dangerous, if not more dangerous, is that of religious people who try to tell you that when you come to a list like this, that it's all about this comparison game, that you've got to measure up, you've got to do these things and don't do these things so that God loves you. I want you to know that the cross of Christ takes care of these sins in your life. But there's a better way. I believe that when Paul is inspired to write this, it's not a disqualifying list. He's writing to the church. So let's start there and think, what is the church? It's not a building. It's not a steeple. It's the people, right? So he's talking to people who have already met God, right? He's not talking about something that's disqualifying. He's talking to the church, and he's reminding them, you shouldn't be sexually immoral. You shouldn't have impure thoughts. Instead of crude talk or joking, maybe try Thanksgiving. And he's telling them the people that do this, in other words, that are this, have not given their lives to Christ, and they will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's speaking to the church, and here's where I believe he's coming back around to in what we'll just read. There is a better way. You may try the earth and all of its worldly things and all of this, but there is a better way. Verse 8, he says it. You used to walk in darkness. Anybody ever got up in a dark room, especially if it's somewhere you've never been before and like had to make that bathroom trip? Man, you could stumble up in the dark, can't you? Yeah? Break a toe and say all kind of words you didn't even know you knew. Man, isn't that the worst, like stump a toe? You used to walk in darkness. Listen to the beauty here, though. But now. See, he's speaking to people who've been redeemed. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to people that know the gospel, right? And he's saying, you used to walk in darkness. We all did, right, before we met Jesus. And now that you've met him, he says, you used to walk in darkness, but now you are in the light in the Lord. So how about this? Walk as children in the light. That's what you are. So it's not a disqualifying list, as many would preach or teach this, and to shame somebody into more respectable behavior. It is a here is a better way. You used to only be able to walk in darkness, but now you can walk in light. Do you know you have a choice daily that you can walk in darkness or you can walk in light? It's a choice. It truly is. That's the beauty of free will, is God gives you a choice, right? He's given you the better way, and he's saying you can choose today to walk in darkness or you can walk in light. You are now children of the light, so why not walk in that way? That is what Paul is saying here. Listen to me, my friends that walk in darkness. Anybody want to raise their hand on that one? Say, man, I sometimes do that, okay? There's grace. There's grace. Now, here's what it doesn't do. I don't think that someone who's truly changed can continue to walk in darkness and continue to walk in darkness. They'll say, well, Jesus paid for it. I'm just going to do that. Maybe some examination that needs to happen there, right? Like, there's this want to in you. If you're a children of light, you want to walk in the light. You have those moments where you choose darkness, but when you do, it burdens your soul, and you're like, man, there's a better way. You get what I'm saying? There's a difference. Somebody's walking in darkness all the time and never has a care in the world, maybe not a child of light, right? Maybe not a believer. It should grieve us when we mess up, but we should also take comfort in that there is grace and we are not disqualified. Verse 10, he continues on after he's talking about this grace. He says this in verse 10, that you discern what is pleasing. You know what discernment is, right? That you just, you have this ability to choose between two things or listen to the Holy Spirit and you discern, you are in tune with him where you know exactly kind of where you're supposed to go. He says, discern what is pleasing. Here's an easy way. He gives us a whole book of what is pleasing to him. But I got news for you. He doesn't stop speaking when he gets to the end of Revelation. He doesn't. There's some that will tell you, no, it's only the written word of God. Now, here's what I will tell you. I believe, and I believe Scripture backs this up, that he will never, ever lead you to do something that's in contradiction to his will. For example, this is silly, but I'm going to tell you this. All right, you know you shall not murder, right? You see these people sometimes that have killed somebody and say, well, God told me to do it. God didn't tell you to do that, right? Like, it's against what he's already told you as his word. All right? But here, like, he'll tell you, walk in love. Okay? That's something he's already told you. And you're out and about and you leave this place and you see somebody that's hungry and you know they're hungry. You know they're not just running a game. And you buy them a plate of food. You feel led to buy them. You're listening to the active Holy Spirit in your life. And it doesn't contradict this. In fact, it backs it up, right? That's how we live. We operate. We listen to the Holy Spirit. We discern what is pleasing because he still speaks. Paul is saying there is a better way to trust the light over darkness, discern what is pleasing. I have absolutely loved this place in Scripture all of my life. When I get to this place and you can look and see that it's quoted in our Bible, and it's not necessarily word for word Scripture, but Paul would have definitely been familiar with thoughts that were around this. Listen to what it says again. Awake, O sleeper. Not beautiful words, right? Like, not somebody when you're in this really, really good sleep and they come in and wake up, like, you know, it was time to go to school. Not that. But I want you to picture just some beautiful rest and beautiful sleep and all of this, but then finding out there's this better way. This is a salvation moment, right? Awake, O sleeper. You've been asleep. You've been dead. Come to life. Wake up. And it says, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Can I tell you this? When you've had that moment where you were asleep and dead in your trespasses, and there's this calling to wake up and to come into light, you won't want to be a part of these things all the time. You're going to mess up. There's grace, but you will not want to live a life that is full of these things. You have walked in darkness long enough, you will want to choose the light. Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Surely he had Isaiah 60 in mind when he said this. Paul would have been very familiar with the Old Testament, if I can get my Bible to open there. Isaiah 60, verse 1, see if this sounds familiar when you hear, awake, O sleeper. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And then, I don't know about this, but I was actually reading some scripture this week, and I came across one, and I just want to say it, because I love this verse. It's in Malachi 4, 2. It says, there is healing in the Lord's wings, and listen to this. This is when you've came from darkness into light. This is how it makes you feel. If you've ever had that experience, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Malachi 4, 2. Healing in the Lord's wings, you will go out leaping like calves from the stall. Anybody ever seen a baby cow? I know Jamie has. I met her on a farm. That's where I dated her. I bought her first shoes she ever had. She was shoeless and living on a farm. I'm just kidding on some of that. She did live on a farm. All kind of animals out there. But you see the calf, the newly born calf, man, just jumping. Took me to a Josh Garrell song. Where's Jesse? Is Jesse still here? He already left. Jesse? I'm talking about you. Josh Garrell song. Love this line. And I want to share it with you in closing, and I want to do it in this way. I want you to remember, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love. Then all these things that Paul lists and says, there's a better way. You've been in darkness, now walk in light. Listen to these words of this song. When you've encountered the darkness, you've been there, you remember what it was like, you remember that salvation moment, you remember walking in light. Listen to this. Tell me if this doesn't describe your heart. Skipping like a calf loose from his stall, I'm free to love once and for all. The joy, right? The just sheer joy. Like, man, nothing can stop me now. Like, I'm his and he is mine. Like, I am his beloved and he is mine. It's that skipping like a calf, man. I want to challenge you, if you've never had that experience, there is a better way, that there is light over darkness, that you too should listen to this call from Scripture. Don't listen to my words, listen to the Holy Spirit. Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. And I love this, Christ will shine on you. Not that he might, not that he could, not that he maybe would, he will shine on you. My friend, everybody look at me in closing, I'm going to say this. You hear me say it all the time, and there's very good reason, because I believe it to be the God's honest truth and one of the mantras of this body. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you're doing, or what you will do. Jesus' grace is enough. Amen? Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. There is a better way, and I got good news. You may say, man, it's not for me. Not for me. You don't know what I've done. I want to tell you this, that your very creation, your very birth screams that He desires intimate relationship with you. He created you knowing every mistake, every shortcoming, every travesty that you would commit. And He still looked at you at the moment of creation and said, fearfully and wonderfully made, intricately woven in the secrets and the depths. And He is so madly in love with you that He decided from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world, that I'm going to create man and woman. They're going to mess up, and I'm going to go and rescue and offer redemption. Pray with me. Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on us. Thank you, Jesus, that our very mere existence, the fact that we are alive and breathing and walking today, screams that you desire intimacy with us. You created everyone for a relationship. Your desire from the first pages of our Bible was Eden. You desired to walk with us and to have fellowship with man and woman. Sin entered the picture and messed that up for a season. It was always faith in you, God, and then faith in the one who would come. Jesus, you came, you lived, you died, you were buried, and you rose, signifying that we have victory over the grave, and that this is not the end. You have us here for relationship. And man, when we walk from that darkness into light, we too will be like that calf, just jumping loose from the stall, just knowing there's a better way. So my prayer is twofold. If someone's never encountered you, that today would be the day of salvation, as your word says. If they have met you, that you would renew the joy of our salvation, that we would be like that young calf, that we would understand that there's a better way, that we can walk from darkness into light, that we are children of the light, so we should walk that way. And thank you for the grace when we don't. Jesus, we need you, we love you, and this is all about you because we say it here all the time and we mean it from the bottom of our hearts. Jesus, you change everything. Let that be our mantra, let that be our marching orders as we leave this place, that we're reminded of the first two verses, that we be imitators of you, that we walk in love, and that we offer a fragrant offering because of our love for you that overflows to the love of others. Jesus, we love you, we need you, and we thank you. We pray it in your name. Amen. Father, let my heart be out.